like just what was shared just goes so much into what the Lord, like, I love it. Sometimes when, oh, Lord, I think this is what you're saying I should share this week, but I'm not sure. And then we come together and share, and then it's just affirmed that this is what the Lord wants shared. Because I was meditating this week and just dwelling on, I forget which day it really hit me, but like, what's our purpose? What is the purpose of it all? Like, maybe it was because I had just, like last week, I had read through Ecclesiastes and, you know, Solomon is asking, you know, what's the meaning of all this? And he's looking at the world and life through a secular humanist point of view because he had given his life over to selfishness and to self-pursuit and the pursuit of the things of the world. And finally, he came to his senses at the end of his life. And so maybe it arose from that. But just this basic of what is the purpose of it all? Like, are we just supposed to live and kind of try and enjoy life and then die one day, you know? And what's the meaning of it all? And I came to a conclusion, and I just put down three things. But they all, I believe, center on the very first thing that I'm just gonna lay out here, and it really is to bring glory to God, and even more accurately, to reveal the glory of God, because we actually can't bring glory to God because He has glory. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or whether we praise Him for it or whether we bow to Him or not, He is glorious and He is worthy of all praise and glory. And so I'm reminded of like some of the interaction in the book of Job where like whether I come to Him or not, whether I praise Him or not, what is that to Him? You know, whether I sacrifice to Him or not, what is that to Him? Does it change Him? Does my righteousness and my pursuit of righteousness change His goodness and who He is? Does it add to Him? Absolutely not. Because He is, like He just is. He is the great I Am. Whether I acknowledge it or not, whether I live righteously or not, He is and He always will be. Like that is His name, that is His character, that is who He is. But it's this place of, okay, so I can't add glory, but He has chosen in the way He has made everything. He has given us this calling, if you will, to reveal His glory and to reflect His glory. There's a passage, let's see here. In second, where did I... 2 Corinthians, I believe it was. I don't know why I didn't write that down. 2 Corinthians 5. I hope this is the right passage. Nope. I was sure I wrote it down. Okay, you're going to have to hold with me here a little bit, because this is too important to... I have no idea why I didn't write this down. There's a passage, maybe some of you know it, maybe a sword drill here, but where we are to reflect God's glory. There it is. I do have it written down very at the bottom. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Actually, I'll start in verse 12 just to give a little context. Therefore, since we have such hope, this hope in the new covenant, this hope in this glory which lasts, in verse 11, you know, Moses came down the mountain with a glory that's fading, but how much greater is the glory which lasts? It says in verse 11, therefore, since we have such a hope, We are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For this, to this day, the very same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It's not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, as we continue to say yes to God, His glory is reflected in us more and more. And we move from a reflection of glory to a greater reflection of glory, to a greater reflection of glory as we just continue to say yes. So we move from glory to glory as we are being transformed. And this is, I think, our calling, like, summed up. There's a lot of subsections in it, but this place of reflecting God's glory to those around us. And here's the thing. So in the scripture, it's clear we're supposed to reflect this glory to people, and we're supposed to reflect this glory to the angelic. It's to both. There's something going on. I understand the reflecting God's glory to people. I get that. Because, so here's, this leads into my third point of what's our purpose, because they all kind of mix together. But this place of our calling, and this is where the 2 Corinthians 5 comes in, our ministry of reconciliation, how we are called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We have been given a calling to bring people, to persuade people, and not just with words, yes, with words too, but to persuade people that God is who he says he is, that he is good, that we need him. He is our Savior. A main way that we do this is by reflecting his glory. I forget whether it was Monday or Tuesday, Monday or Sunday, but either which way, it doesn't matter. I want to say it again. So if you've heard this once, twice, 10 times, it doesn't matter. You need to hear it again. Our testimony is so powerful. Your testimony as to what God has done in your life is so powerful. I believe we need to share the gospel. Absolutely. We need to share the reality, the doctrinal reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are sinners, that he came and he died for us, and that anyone who believes in him, anyone who says, I can't do it on my own, I believe that you are the perfect sacrifice and I accept that sacrifice on my behalf, then we are saved. And we need to share that doctrinal truth with people, because people are trying to earn it. All other religions are an earning your salvation religion. Every single religion in the world, there's two religions in the world. One is biblical Christianity, which says, Jesus, you did it for me. I can't do it on my own. I trust in your sacrifice for my sins. And I lay my life at your feet, and I trust you to take care of me. I trust you to take care of this problem of mine, which is sin. I just trust you. And then there's all other religions, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, the Catholic faith, you know, and it's all earning your salvation. I can earn it. I need to do something. I need to try and make this right. We can't make this right. So we need to share that. Absolutely. Need to make that clear. But then we get the opportunity to say to people, okay, now let me tell you what difference Jesus has made in my life. Let me tell you what's happened in my life since, as I follow Christ. And not that I'm perfect. I am continuing to change from glory to glory. I am not a finished product. But look at what he's done already. And we get to talk about the peace that God brings. We get to talk about the joy. We get to talk about the purpose. We get to talk about the contentment. We get to talk about how he has changed our emotions, how he has changed our minds and our thinking. We get to talk about how he has changed our family and our relationships, how he has healed our marriages, how you know, I get to talk about now with people, because people don't, even fellow believers don't understand how Carlene and I can have so much peace sending, like, you know, well, first we, you know, saw Tyler go to Germany, and then we saw Andrew go to Australia, but now we see Jesse going to South Africa. And, well, like, okay, Germany, oh, that's a nice place. Australia, that's cool, eh? Hey, mate, you know, good day, mate, and it's all good. But, like, but South Africa, isn't there danger there? Isn't there, you know, And we go to Bricks and Barley, and they find out that, you know, we're his parents. And the last time I was there with John Tifo, you know, they found out I was, oh, you're Jesse's dad. And then some of them talked to me, and aren't you scared? Aren't you worried? No, not at all. Because we know this is where God has called him. And I get to explain the peace of God. The peace of God just that passes all understanding. I get to share that with fellow believers, too. In my family, and that, and we get to reflect God's glory, and his glory is his character, his glory is himself. And the beautiful thing is, he lives in us, and he starts living through us, and our lives are changed, and we get to share that with people. Because you know what, people might not, at first they won't necessarily be convinced by the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we shouldn't share it. We need to share it, even if it's rejected, even if they don't understand it, even if they look at us, and obviously with non-believers, the Bible isn't an authority in their lives, so they won't look at it like we will look at it. But one thing people cannot argue against and find a difficult time arguing against is a changed life. Now, let me tell you what this has done for me. This decision to follow Christ, this decision to enter into relationship with him, this decision to yield my life to him. Let me tell you what this has done. I've said it before, people want what you have. And here's a reality too. You want more of what you have. I want more of what God has given me already. And this is where, when I encourage us to pursue God and to yield to him, and when you read it in the Word and when you see it in his character, to yield to him, when I encourage you to work on your marriages, to work on your relationships, when I encourage you to raise your children well, when I encourage you to pour into your kids and love on them, when I encourage you to be that worker that you're called to be in your workplace and be honest and be hardworking and all these things, you know, and to take your thoughts captive, don't get angry at the driver who just cut you off and all these things. Yes, it's for you. It is. And I would actually say, from my perspective at least, pastoral perspective, it is primarily for you, because I love you. Pastor's heart, you know, I want you to do well. I want you to have wonderful lives. I want you to have wonderful marriages. I want you to have wonderful relationships with your kids. I want you to be like, I was just saying to Mel and Stephen and Ian here, and we've told a few people this too. So saying goodbye to Jesse yesterday, right? And I shared it with our guys, where when you're saying goodbye to your youngest, at the same time, you're kind of saying goodbye to all your kids again, like, because it's an end of an era. It's an end of a season. And Carlene and I were reflecting on this. A lot of parents, when they say goodbye to their kids, when they get to this age where they buy a house and they move partly out, you know. Well, was that too much? Understand, we love it. We really do, actually. But when your kids move out, or when they go across, a lot of parents see their kids going out, and so there's this sadness about the end of an era, even though they know it's time. There's this, oh, my kids, like, this has been so great, I'm going to miss them. But then they have the added burden of, shoot, my kids aren't ready. And some parents send their kids out and they have this understanding, I know they're going to mess up. Like, not, I'm not talking a cynical parent. I know they are not making good decisions yet. I know parents who have this in their life, people who are very dear to us, that where their kids are sent out because it's just that time, and the kid leaves, and it's this place of, they're not a kid anymore, they're an adult, and yet they're not making good decisions. So you have the burden of the sorrow of a season ending, but then they also have the burden of, they're not ready, and they're going to mess up, and oh, they're making horrible decisions. We don't have that at all. Like I said this to the guys yesterday at the airport, all three of them, like, we don't have to deal with that at all. At all. Understand that. We just have to deal with the, oh, we're going to miss our kids. It's sad that this season is over. I don't have to worry about them making bad decisions. I don't have to worry about them being foolish. I don't have to worry about them being ungodly. You know, it's like when we went to Myrtle Beach last year, and we were in the pool, and there was this guy with his family there. They're from North Carolina. And we were talking, we got to know them a little bit, and the dad, you know, their daughter was like 11 or something, I forget, but the dad would talk to the guys, why are you guys here in North Myrtle Beach with your parents? If I were you, I'd be down in South Myrtle Beach where all the girls are, and on the bars and all this kind of stuff. And I said to him, like, I would trust any one of my guys to be down there and not do anything foolish. He's just like, wow, like, how? Like, it just, you could see the confusion on his face. And it's like, it's because of Christ in them. And the beautiful thing about that, when you say yes, so back to, I encourage you to say yes to God for your sake, okay? I want it for your sake, because I want your life, I want you to have this. I, like, part of this parenting seminar, right, is there's this whole idea, I want it to be for you, so that when your children get to that age of leaving the house, you have no worries. You can be fully confident. Fully confident. And not that anything's guaranteed or anything, because we all have our own choices and all of that, but it's this place of learning to pour into them the way the Lord has called us to pour into them. Learning to lead them in biblical principle. Learning to lead them in the ways that God has for them, so that you can be filled with joy. Oh, I hope that you all, like, and I see it in the families who are here, which is great, but not just for you, but for anyone. I hope that anyone I meet would have the joy that Carlene and I have in sending out our children. The confidence and the praise that is on our lips. So it's for you, but then the beautiful thing is, it's a reflection of God's glory for others. It's a testimony. So all of a sudden, the co-workers at Bricks and Barley are like, man, like I've been in there twice, and I think both times people have said to me, you guys did a really good job. I said, thank you. It's because of the Lord. It's because we followed biblical principle, not perfectly, but because we raised our children in the Lord. And not saying, okay, I need to qualify this too, because it's not saying that if a person has a child who is not walking with the Lord, that they didn't raise their children that way. No, because there is no guarantee. Like, people like to use the Proverbs as a guarantee, like, if you raise your child up in the Lord, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it, like that passage. We need to understand the genre of the Proverbs, and as you read it, it's very clear. These are the ways to go about things, and for the most part, this will happen. But it doesn't take away people's free will. It doesn't take away people's choice. Okay? But as we live our lives for God in whatever it is, raising our children, in our marriages, because people are watching. When we went to Thailand, one of the things that they said to us is one of the best testimonies you can have to the Thai people is not the words you speak, but how you treat your family. As they watch you interact with each other, as they watch husbands interact with wives, wives interact with husbands, the parents interacting with their children. That's one of the best testimonies you can give to the Thai people. I think that's everywhere. We reflect God's glory, and then people will come and say, I want what you have. People will come up to Ruth, right, who is just hurting and can hardly walk. It's like, how can you continue to praise? How can you continue to be at peace? How can you not be angry and bitter? It's because of Jesus. And we can give an answer for the hope that we have. We are called to reflect God's glory. And then also to the angels. We're called to reflect God's glory to the angels. I thought of the book of Job. The whole book of Job is basically God proving through Job to Satan that God is right. That God is good. That God is just. That God is holy. And that his people on earth get that. That's a really sloppy summation, and yet there's that in there. And then I think of Ephesians. When we studied Ephesians as a Bible study, we came across this passage in Ephesians 3. I'll start in verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, and that's you, that's me, we are the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. You reflect God's glory, not only to the people around you and in your life, but to the demonic that decided to rebel. And to the angels who decided to remain faithful. Like, there's some ministry going on there that is mysterious to me, and yet there it is. We are called to reflect God's glory. And so the decisions that we make, they aren't just decisions for us. If they were, that would be enough. Because again, I want you to have the best life possible. I want you to walk in peace. I want you to walk in joy. I want you to walk in love. I want your marriages to be awesome. I want your families to have wonderful time enjoying being with each other and loving on each other. I want you to have a great time in your workplace. I want you to make wise decisions, be financially stable, like make decisions about finances and all these things, because it all works together. It all fits in there. I want that for you. And if that's all it were, that would be enough, because you are worth it. And because God loves us as his children. But it's not just that. You are also a reflection to those around you. And you are meant to manifest his glory. And it fits into the third point of our purpose, to be ambassadors for Christ. Your life should draw people in. Your marriages should make non-believers say, I want to get to know this Jesus, because they have an amazing marriage. They have an amazing marriage. They have an amazing marriage. And I want that. I want what they have. I want that. The way we raise our children, the way we interact with them should make others say, I want that. I love how your family loves each other. We've had that. We've had people come up to us and say that. I love how your guys love being with you. It's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Our kids don't want anything to do with us. That's too bad. That's sad. I want that for you. And I want that to be a reflection I want people to come up to you in your workplace and say, why are you so happy? Jesse would get this at Bricks and Barley. Why are you so happy all the time? You're just like, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's in me. And then we get to tell of how he changed. If people are willing to listen, we get to tell this testimony. And people are transformed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we get to share. This isn't just theology. This isn't just doctrine. This isn't just religion, some theory. This is the difference it has made in my life. This is who I used to be. This is who I am now. And I'm not done yet. Ambassadors, spreading the gospel in our words, the doctrine, yes, and also with our lives. That is our calling. And then finally, number two, sandwiched in between those, it reminds me of what Lily shared and just the spiritual warfare. We are meant, our purpose, because the question is, what is our purpose, right? We are meant to fight. There is a war going on, and we are meant to fight. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, like it says in Ephesians 6. It's against the rulers and powers and the dark forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we are meant to fight. I'm reminded of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and the Lord is looking for someone to stand in the gap. In that case, he couldn't find any, and so he poured out his wrath, but he wanted to pour out mercy, and he was looking for someone to stand in the gap. We might question, why do you need me, Lord, to do that? I don't fully understand the answer to that, but what I do understand is it has something to do with free will. It has something to do with us taking a stand, exercising our free will to stand in the gap for others, and God works through people. Yes, he doesn't need people, but he has chosen it that way in many cases. And we are called to stand in the gap. We're called to stand in the gap for our communities. We're called to stand in the gap for friends, and family members and neighbors. We're meant to pray. We're meant to intercede. And again, they all work together. Well, why? Why do we need to intercede so that people can come to know Christ? Well, why is that important? Well, A, so that they're saved because God loves them, but also it reflects God's glory. To other people who aren't saved yet, to people who are saved, the church, and to the heavenly realms, to say to the enemy, you made a huge mistake when you rebelled against me. And to remind the enemy of his end and the joy of the cross and the power of the cross and all of it. It just, that's our purpose. Please don't buy into the lie of the world's purposes. Don't go down the road of what King Solomon did. I was talking to Jesse yesterday before he left. You know, we were alone in the afternoon there for a bit, just talking, or in the morning. And we just talked about how the importance of learning from other people's mistakes. Please, you don't have to walk through what Solomon walked through to learn what he eventually learned. He tried everything that the world had to offer. He tried to work out that glory for himself, if you will, and the glory of the world. And none of it was meaningful. None of it brought any joy. None of it brought any peace. The pursuit of riches, the pursuit of sexual satisfaction in things outside of God's plan, the pursuit of importance and fame, the pursuit of industry and building up a name for yourself and leaving a legacy, if you will, in this world and with projects and all that kind of stuff. He already tried it all to the nth degree. Even wisdom and trusting in his own intellect and exploring all of that. He explored foolishness, he explored wisdom and all of it. Nothing meant anything without God. So let's learn from that and say, okay, someone else has explored that fully. And he found it absolutely unsatisfying and useless. I'm going to pursue the purposes of God, that my life would reflect His glory. And I've talked about before, the ways of God, it's a win-win-win. When I live my life for the Lord, when I yield to Him, when I surrender, I benefit. I'm not doing this in order, okay? This isn't necessarily in order, but I benefit. I have benefited from choosing God. My life is better because I have chosen God, and I have tried to say yes to Him, and I continue to say yes to Him. And whenever I say no to Him, it gets worse in whatever area of my life. So the win is for me. The win is for others. We were reflecting yesterday as we were eating. Carlene had us reflecting. She got all reflective. It was like, ooh, car, turning over a new leaf. Reflection. And we were reflecting as a family our lives in that. Our lives then also make a benefit. Our good choices benefit others. Choices that we make benefit others. So others win. And then the Lord, which is the most important. Again, He doesn't gain in the sense of He is better for it, because no, the Lord is I am. He is who He is. But I do believe, I think this is right doctrinally, it brings joy to Him. In Ephesians, it talks about how we can grieve the Spirit by our poor decisions. We can actually bring grief and sorrow. I do also then believe we can bring joy. A smile on His face. Because He loves us. Just like a father or mother looking at their children, seeing them make good decisions, seeing them succeed in a godly way, seeing them grow. It just makes you smile. I have the joy of looking at my children's life and smiling. I have that joy. I pray that my life would be the same for God, that He would smile on my life, that He would look at me and say, well done. Like, not for my benefit. Like, we often think of that passage, well done, good and faithful servant, for our benefit. Yay, I get more rewards. Whatever rewards are due me, Lord, You are enough. Like, just Your presence is enough. Like, thank You, I'll take whatever You give me, because it's from You and I will never refuse anything from You. But I think the greatest reward is seeing His smile and that pleasure, that joy. So it's a win-win-win when we say yes to Him, when we say yes to the Lord. Our purpose is to bring Him glory. Our purpose is to fight. Our purpose is to be ambassadors of reconciliation, and all these things, they will bring Him glory. It's this place of, Lord, I want to seek Your face. It's all that we've been talking about so many different times. May my life reflect the Lord. I pray that your lives reflect the Lord. So, what do we do with this then? And this is nothing new. This is old. I've probably preached along these lines 100 times already. I don't know. I would encourage you, don't beat yourself up. This is not what this is for. I need to say that every time, because I know that some of us have that tendency. I don't want you to do that. That's not of the Lord. But as you look at your lives, as you reflect, as you examine, wherever it is, whatever it is, your workplace, how you interact with coworkers, how you interact with your boss, decisions that you make as far as what you watch, your entertainment, your time, your finance, your relationships, your marriages. Again, I always stress marriages because other than our relationship with Christ, that is the most important. So it's Christ, you and Christ, you and your spouse if you are married, you and your children if you have children, you and your extended family if you have extended family, and then the church, and then outward. But I just, in all those things, in all those different areas of life, am I reflecting Christ? Am I reflecting His glory? Is His glory shining through me, or is the world's way, are the world's ways shining through me? I want us all to have the joy of someone coming up to us and saying, I want a marriage like you have. I want to have a relationship with my children like you have. I want to have peace in the workplace like you have. I want to have joy like you have. I want to have peace even in the midst of tragedy and turmoil like you have. I want you to know that joy. Then when you can say to, you can say back to them, do you know why I have this? And they'll say, no, why? What's your secret? And you'll say, it's no secret. It's Jesus. And we can just point to the Lord. You're actually looking at Jesus in me and us walking this life together. I don't have to walk this life alone. That's what you're seeing. That's what you actually want. Oh, I hope you all know that joy of saying that to people. Are there any questions or comments on this? Just wait for the mic so that people can. Carlene's running. Yes, it is. If we're just gonna skip, we'll just let Craig then turn the tape off quickly, so he doesn't have to edit it later. Any other questions or comments?
Just a quick one. I haven't. You've been encouraging to open the Bible and try to read some, and sadly, I haven't been doing that, and hadn't in quite a number of weeks. But strangely enough, last night I read Ephesians 3.
Yeah, it's good.
Which is, I mean, it's just all this confirmation of Lord's in control, and just He knows what He's doing, and.
Yeah,
and He's watching out for me, and it's just it. When you brought that up, it's like, oh, really?
It's good. Get in the Word. I mean, we've had many sermons and such and teachings on how to reflect God's glory. Like how do we get there practically? And being in the Word is one of those ways. But we won't get into that today, but just the beauty of reflecting His glory. Yeah.
Yeah. Two verses just came to me as you were talking, and one of them is Ephesians as well, but it's Ephesians 3, and I'm just going to read it so I don't screw it up. But it talks about glory. So now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. And it's just like that. It's just like that glory will shine. And then Philippians 2, that we're supposed to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So like even, and we're in our work, do everything without complaining. That's for me, or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. I just love that, because it's that glory or the shining that people are just attracted to, and the demonic too, like, or the angelic. It does something.
It does.
It does something.
Oh, so good. You are meant to shine like stars in the universe. It's true. Yeah. Do you understand? Like, to put it in a human way of thinking, okay? It'll lose something, so I don't want you to think primarily this way, but I think it'll clear up something, but it loses something as well. You'll understand one. But it's this place of, in whatever aspect of my life, am I living it in such a way, surrendered to God, but in such a way where people would come up to me and say, I want what you have. And I'm not talking about from a worldly, like you have a mansion and someone says, I want what you have. Not that way. Like, I mean, so they look at our relationships, they look at our families, they look at our peace with regards to finance, they look with our peace with regards to life, they look at our joy, they look at our, again, our marriages, our relationship with our kids. Are you living your life in such a way, are you making decisions in such a way where people would come up to you and say, I want what you have? Again, marriage is I know not everyone's married here, but hopefully those who aren't married can still take something out of this and understand that it applies to so much more, but it just is so clear there. Do you have a marriage that other people would say, I want the kind of marriage you have? Like a young person's term, relationship goals, right? Is that how you say it? Yeah, relationship goals. Am I cool? Hip? Do you have a marriage where people, young people, older people, other married people, single people, or whatever, where other people are looking at you and saying, relationship goals, right there. Right there. That's what I want. Do you have a marriage that your kids are saying, I want a marriage like that? And again, it applies to everything, but marriage is one of those, like, and God highlights it in Scripture all over the place. Is your boss saying, I want more workers like you? I want more employees like you. Can you recommend anyone? We have an opening. Can you recommend someone? Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? Do you have a cousin? Do you have someone? Like, are they saying that to you? And you can apply it. We are meant to reflect God's glory, because at that point, we can say to our non-believing boss or our non-believing friends or whatever, you are seeing Christ in me. What you really are asking for, when your boss comes to you and says, do you know of anyone? Because we need more employees like you. You can say, do you know what you're really saying? You're saying you need more of Christ in this company. Because that's what you love about me, is the difference that Christ has made in my life. We are meant to reflect his glory in all aspects, so that no matter what angle people look at us, they see Christ. No matter what angle, no matter what part of our lives, they see Christ. So, Lord, these things, we recognize we can only reflect your glory as you change us, and you take us from glory to glory. But I hear you saying back to us, well, I can only change you if you let me. I can only change you as much as you surrender to me. I just hear that, and I just... So we say yes, Lord, again to you, and change us more and more so that people are drawn to you. We want to live lives where people are drawn to you, where you are lifted up. We want to live lives that make you smile, that make you proud, that make you happy. I don't know if those are proper ways to describe it, and forgive me if they fall short. But we want to make lives, we want to live lives that make just make you so joy-filled and reflect your glory to the world around us. We want to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We want to see people come to know you. We want to fight the good fight. Lord, thank you that you have chosen to reveal your glory through us and that we get to participate in this. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for people who are seeking, and thank you for people who have made decisions for you already. Thank you for people that you bring into our lives. Thank you. We love you, and we love what you're doing. Continue to do it in us. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's worship.